Welcome to the Catholic Dirt Podcast.
Hey everyone, on this episode, we take a segment from our Good Friday event and listen to a friend of the show. Camila Rodriguez talks to us about the seven things you need to keep your soul on fire. You're going to want to take notes on this one.
Hey, do you want to get a copy as well? Be sure to text DIRT to 305-697-6013. That's DIRT to 305-697-6013 to get signed up, and then text the word LIVE. We'll be doing a follow-up in the next few weeks, so be sure to get your downloads and your workbook, and hopefully we'll see you in a few weeks. Happy Easter.
This episode is brought to you by BrainwashedCoffeeCo.com. I'm sure you've heard that alcohol use disorder and addiction in general is on the rise, especially during the pandemic. That's why Brainwashed Coffee Co. works to raise money and awareness to support people seeking help. By donating 50% of profits, their mission is to give back to the amazing sober, dry recovery community. Their why is bold, and their coffee is fresh. So if you want to sip an amazing brew that warms your mind, body, and soul, then visit BrainwashedCoffeeCo.com and use the code DIRT at checkout for 20% off your coffee order. Brainwashed Coffee Co. Simple coffee for complicated people. And by Purple Circle. Purple Circle takes the frustration out of technology and lets you focus on what matters most. With Purple Circle, you get a plan that enables you to get to your goal without having to worry about the technology. For your free consultation, head over to purplecircle.io. That's purplecircle.io.
This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors and listeners like you. Thank you to those who give monthly, and thank you for those who have considered our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you. We hope you enjoy this episode, and may God bless you on your faith walk to being better soil.
All right. Thank you. So thanks for coming back. Thank you for those of you who have joined later in our sessions. We've had a phenomenal morning, and no matter what you may have missed, we are so happy and grateful that you are here with us, because we have plenty more to come. So thank you for being here. Next up is someone who I consider a real brother of mine. He was the man at my side when we started doing this Emmaus journey. If you don't know about Emmaus is an amazing experience where we help men on the fringes of their faith come back and reignite them in their life with God and Christ and ministry and all the other beautiful things that we have in our beautiful Catholic Church. The truth is, it's open to anyone. Anyone could experience an Emmaus retreat. And I was blessed, truly blessed to have our next speaker, Camila Rodriguez, as my co-director. And it was during this retreat that really kind of sparked and ignited a relationship between him and I. We still go back occasionally, back and forth. Mostly it's me crying to him, Camilo, what do I do, you know? Because he really is a spiritual rock. He is solid in his faith. And I attribute that to his devotion to the Eucharist, his family, his faith, and just so much. So without further ado, I'm going to move some of this stuff around, and I'm going to bring up my friend Camilo, and he's going to talk about, wait for this, the seven things that you need to be on fire. Check this out. Bro, let me tell you, I'll start off like that. Bro, when it comes to your devotion, to our Catholic faith, when it comes to our devotion to ministry and the Eucharist, you really are, bro. To know of another young man, right? Another young adult that, I mean, quite frankly, is just crushing it, right? You've put things in place. You have routines for your family. You have a spiritual life. You're consecrating yourself to the Holy Mother and to Saint Joseph. And tell me a bit about your background, bro. Tell the audience
about your background and how you even got there, because I could imagine that that took time, that took discipline. This is all the things that our listeners are trying to get, right? They want a piece of that, right? So mm-hmm. talk to me a bit about your background and how you think you got to the level of devotion that that you have now, that I even aspire to have like you.
Brother, let me give you the first drop of wisdom here. Let's bring the Holy Spirit into this, okay? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, enkindle the hearts of our loves. We ask you to please come and be with us in this moment, that when we're going to speak about the blessed Lord Jesus and the holy sacrament of the Eucharist and that consecrated host where his body, blood, soul, and divinity abides, that we can learn from you the words that I'm able to say today by your grace that are your words, my Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and I ask that every single man that sees this video, this talk is that listens to you, my Lord. May my mouth, my heart, my soul be devoted to you for the building of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Amen. And the Father, Son.
All right, wait, man. It's a process. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me, how I started, what happened, what took place in my life, first of all.
Yeah,
Camilo. Camilo back, like Camilo prior to 2008 was a different Camilo, okay? Camilo was into the worldly things, right? Into trying to make money.
You were partying. You're all about that swipe. You were.
I like to flirt with a lot of girls, you know. A girlfriend here, a girlfriend there. Not really knowing spiritual myself, what I wanted to do. I went to Protestant denomination. I even also tried to go to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I was a mess, man. I was a hot mess.
Yeah, you were all over. Yeah.
Yes, I was born in a Catholic family. The tradition, you know, go to mass on Sundays. But then that starts like, as I got older, towards 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, totally disregard the Catholic teaching, totally, it's just like something people do just for weddings. It looks nice, the church in the background, you know. And 2008 happened. That was the year I was going out with my now wife. We were not living a chaste life then. And God said, not enough is enough, man. I have you for greater things. You're playing too much. You're just, it's got to stop now. And I went into a retreat. It was called John 23rd Retreat. And it was a Christ-centered Eucharistic retreat. Mm-hmm. I cannot give any details, but my encounter with Christ was with the Eucharist.
What a tease.
Walls, my outer layers of, oh, this is the world. It just came down. He absolutely shattered. Wow. It's just, Jesus reached out to me in that retreat. He's like, I want you for me. You're mine. You're my son. I want you to follow me. I have eternal life. I love you. I have better plans for you and for Anna. And he knew she was going to be my wife. I didn't know how this, you know, I was like, just bawling tears. Like, oh my gosh, how could I be?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Like, you're showing me so much love. You're showing me so much care. Like, I have not experienced this in my life ever, you know, and I don't blame my parents because they did their best, but it was like the truth came to me, like it just opened up. It was like a different world in that moment, in that retreat. And from that moment, it's like, Lord, I want to be yours. I want to do your will. I'm done with the old Camilo. I want to be the new Camilo. I want to be your follower. Teach me, because I don't know. All I know is that I love you, that you're really present in that consecrated host. I didn't know much about from my catechism, but I was like, I know we believe that you're there. Help me believe, Lord. Help me believe, because my unbelief is crazy, but I know I want to follow you. And from that moment on, then I told my wife, well, by then was like girlfriend's like,
yeah, then girlfriend,
my life changed. She wasn't in the same speed, right? We were like,
right.
I know you went to a retreat, but like you kind of like,
you're like, wait a minute, dude. Like we were partying last week, and now you're gonna come back, and now you're all about like, Jesus.
I was telling her about Jesus. Here, Chris, are we gonna go to the youth group? And she was like, well, slow down, but slowly but surely, she started like realizing that my life has forever changed, and she wanted that. She wanted that I have. She wanted, and she followed, and she did the retreat. Also, and we went to the Emmaus retreat, which I recommend everyone to try to get involved, especially if you're in the Florida area, to go ahead and do that, man, because it's also Eucharistic Center, you know, conversion, and you encounter Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. So, dude, I forgot the real question. What was the actual question that you asked?
It was, I mean, I think you answered it, which was, how did you get to where you were? And you totally
Yeah.
You totally answered it. So you went from what we, you know, we're recording this on, I think it's the 13th, right? What's today? No, the 14th, Wednesday, October 14th. And so I think it was Paul to the Galatians today even talked about, you know, living the life of the flesh versus living a spiritual life. So you really found that dichotomy and had an aha moment. You saw the flesh life, the life of the world, the secular versus the religious life, right? And I even spoke about it today online, how a lot of people think that the religious life is a downer, that the religious life is, and you and I mean, you can attest, I know I can attest, the religious life is what has set me free. It is what makes me happy. And I'm sure it's you feel the same way too.
And then it's just, is it from that moment on, you know, when you encounter Christ, it's just, he's just telling you, hey, get in the roller coaster. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. You're going to go twist. You're going to have doubts. You're going to have,
but life is going to happen.
Truth, man. I'm with you. I'm back here. I'm leading the way. Just stay in the little train and enjoy the ride. And that's what has been happening, right? And then ever since then, it's just one surprise after another. My three children came. We got married through the church and the sacramental life. We baptized them in the Catholic Church. I enjoy the Word of God. I enjoy doing prayer with my family. I enjoy going to my, it's like, it's enjoy, you know.
So how many years before? So how many years before that point until we met on the Emmaus retreat?
So you know that was like that 2 years ago, right? Off.
Yeah. I think it's now.
That
2 years ago.
My first decade with Jesus. Honestly, wow. It was 10 years later, right? The fire. You have to be careful, right? Because you cannot drive yourself by feelings. Like feelings is great when you first encounter God. Oh my gosh, yes! I mean, he just like holds you in his palm of the hand, and you're like,
yeah.
But then he needs to realize, listen, you need to grow. You need to mature your faith. So I kind of just hold it in my palm of my hand and make you feel like all these beautiful feelings. I want you to walk, right? Walk with me. And then that's where you have trials and tribulations and obstacles. But when you overcome it, it's just you get more in love with God, right? Like, I don't know if people know, but I had a heart issue. In 2016, I had a pericardium inflammation due to a virus, and I had to stop working. Oh, I was the only breadwinner. My wife and I, like, we have no job. And that was the moment where Christ is like, all right, listen, trust in me. I got you. And I was like, God, I can only say I trust in you, because right now, I don't have anything to provide to my family. And one of the main duties for a dad and a husband is to provide. And that wasn't happening. What ended up happening is the moment I say, I trust in you, the churches started to come together, right? They started visiting. Checks started pouring in the mail. Commissions from, like, I didn't know when, started pouring. Like, what is this?
What is this, God? What is this?
Some visit the poles started coming together and bringing us, like, groceries. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, God is holding us. God is there for us. So
Wow.
It's a process of trust, great feelings along the way, but don't got your faith just on feelings because they go up and down. But you got to stay constant knowing that he's there with you. And we in the Catholic Church have the privilege, man. Look, been in other churches, trying to go here and there, Jehovah Witnesses, non-denominational, Baptist church. I was like, dude, the Catholic Church. I mean, there's like no excuse for you not to go to heaven if you're in the Catholic Church, because we're being given the fullness of the truth. We're being given the sacramental life. We have the baptism. We have the confession. We have the Eucharist. We have... Amen. Confirmation. We have all the sacraments, like we have all the tools. It's like everyone else in different denominations and everything is going in a regular car, but maybe is missing the wipers or the headlights. It's like, but we have everything. We have the entire car. We have the fullness of the truth.
And someone once said to me, not that there's anything wrong, right? Because they're Jesus centered, right? There's nothing necessarily wrong, but that if the Catholic Church is a beautiful garden, then our brothers and sisters who have these other denominational faiths are looking at the garden through a peephole, right? There's a door and the door is unlocked. The door is open and they can only see through the peephole. Imagine if they just opened the door. So I get it, brother. I'm with you.
I want to tell the world, come to Jesus, enjoy the Eucharist. Come on, embrace it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, to that extent, I came out across a survey. I don't know if you guys have heard of that famous survey from the Pew Research Center.
Yeah, Pew Research. Yep.
It was like last year. It was pretty pathetic and sad. It said that only 31% of Catholics believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Where's the rest of the 69%? Where are you doing? Well, but then again...
Well, then tell them, brother.
That was me before, right? I was a Catholic just for weddings and baptisms,
right. Christmas, Easter, right? All the big holidays, right?
Looking forward for the meals after Mass. Hopefully this priest is done quick because I'm hungry, So I don't blame, I don't want to judge, but it's just pretty sad that 31% only believes in the real presence.
And I think to your point, Camilo, even with that data, and it's really because I don't know if they truly know. I think it explains some of the success that we've had here at Catholic Dirt. I think it explains this week to week, month to month growth. And I got to be honest, and I'm sure other people will feel the same way. Traditional, catechism, traditional, education when it comes to our faith is just not up to par. And I think it has to really come from people who've experienced it, who understand it. Men like you, to be quite frank, who by only being near you, they, I would even argue seeing you in a pew at church, you can tell, you feel at Mass, you feel the presence of our one true God there. So let me ask you something, right? So let's fast forward, right? Now you are who you are, right? You lived one life, you go on a retreat, thank God for retreats, and it's life-changing. And then God, or life, I won't say God, but life throws you something. And now you're forced to use the faith that you were given just prior and actively use it. And what ends up happening is commission checks come in. You lost your job, commission checks come in. You don't know where you're going to eat. Food comes through neighbors and friends and through the church. And so other than this retreat, how else does the Mass, and more specifically the Eucharist, because you have such a devotion to the Eucharist, how does this impact you, right? We understand the impact of faith. We know that you went to this retreat and it changed your life. And yet, for whatever reason, when I see you, when I speak with you, it really comes down to the Eucharist. Where does this come from? And why is it so impactful for you?
Okay, so first the retreat, right? The Eucharistic retreat where like you encounter Christ there. That was this first question. Like, I want to know you more. Then as you start reading the Catholic teaching and how he's really present there. And it's just attracts you. It's like a magnet attracting another magnet. Is that impulsive love or like, I want to know you. I know you're really present, but teach me, show me. So what I will end up happening is there's parishes around South Florida, and I'm pretty sure around the world, where they have Eucharistic adoration 24 hours. I didn't know what that was, you know, but I ended up starting to like, this parish was like, hey, we have Eucharistic adoration. You want to come over? I'm like, sure. And there's this beautiful, humble parish in the middle of Tamarack, Florida. This is just the Eucharist exposed in silence. And in the middle of the silence, leaving all the craziness of the world behind that door, you just start pondering and listening to the Lord, right? As when we quiet our voices inside our heads and we quiet the craziness of the world, that we can really start listening and realizing that he's really present there. And it's not like an audible voice, like, oh, he's calling me, hey, Camilo, I love you.
Yeah. The booming voice, right?
In the mere presence of this beautiful, humble chapel, your soul in front of this consecrated house where Jesus is, your soul starts to vibrate so loudly that it's like you're taken by the host, and it's like his heart is beating inside of you, and then all these beautiful thoughts come that it is not Camilo produced, you know. It's like, I love you, you know, there's things that you need to change. I want you to focus more on building your family, spending less time on your phone, things like that. Like, Camilo will not come with that. Camilo loves a lot of technology too, and he loves his family, but not to this extent of vibrating in your soul. So I realized that going to the Eucharistic adoration is one of the best ways for you to know the will of God in your life and falling in love with him. You cannot love what you don't know. And if you don't spend time with that love of loves, it's hard for you to find out, hey, the Eucharist, is it for me? Is it not? The first thing I will ask you is go to Eucharistic adoration, especially to the most humble, just any Catholic church that has Eucharistic adoration exposed, any silence. In the middle of the silence, you can find them. But funny anecdote that I could tell you is, so I was like, hey, this is kind of awesome. Like, I didn't know in the middle of this crazy world, this awesome place exists. I want to come back, you know? So as I'm on my way out, there was like a little slip written saying, we need a Eucharistic adorer for 5 o'clock on Saturday. Please put your name down and phone number. I was like, oh, well, this Saturday coming up. Hey, this is kind of fun. Let me write it down, da-da-da. So on Friday, I get a call, I believe, and there was this person in charge of the adoration chapel. And he's like, oh my gosh, we're so thankful. Thank you for signing up for adoration from 5 or 6 in the morning on Saturdays. I was like, Saturdays with an S?
Oh my gosh.
It was just a Saturday, but she was like, so
appreciative of me. I'm like, oh,
yeah, of course, all that time. My goodness.
You don't know how much you're going to grow in faith. He's going to shit, but okay, so what do I do? No, just you relieve the person that was from 4 to 5 in the morning. You're just going to go from 5 to 6 and you wait for the next person to come in.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, boy, I was in shock. I was like, I don't want to say no. Okay, let me go. And it was, brother, I tell you, it was godsend, because that's when I really fell in love with Christ and the Eucharist and got to know him. And I realized something too, and this is an extra bonus, right? After I went on Saturdays from 6 o'clock, like when my shift ended kind of, and went back home, I was able to sleep like a baby. I was a complete peace inside.
Yeah,
so it's not like I missed out of sleep time. It's like I went back and slept like a little baby for like a couple of hours. So
yeah, because that was going to be my next question, right? My next question is, now you're at adoration. Like, not only what do you get out of it, but why is it important to you to refuel this way? So you're already talking about sleeping. So why is it important to refuel, specifically men, right? The those who listen to the show and others who are coming into this online experience, why is it important to refuel in this way, specifically with the Eucharist? And what do you get out of it?
So first of all, Jesus in the Word of God tells us, you know, I am the, let me read it to you. This is here. I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me, you know, will not perish. It's just putting the trust in him, knowing that he's going to see you through, that he's going to take care of you, having that personal relationship with him and physically, something that I want to say other churches don't have, which is they ask you, are you have a personal relationship with Jesus? When I was like, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I visit him on Saturdays, you know? So why should we feel with the presence of the Lord in our lives, especially in the Eucharistic presence, is because he's going to wipe out our blemishes. He is going to make us clean. Every single time we go there, we think we're giving to him. Oh, we're giving God time, you know? And he's like, no, you're here because I want to give you. I want to give you these graces that I'm able to pass on to the community through you. Receive them, right? And it's like he's pouring graces. Every time you go to the Blessed Sacrament, he's just pouring graces. It's like you're going, it's like you're standing in front of the source of all love. It's like, let me see if we can make a comparison. It's like you've been exposed to radiation and you're like next to the plutonium atom and irradiated of love, right? It's like exactly like that's how I put it. Like you get this session of radiation of love from Jesus Christ. You just are love. You don't have to say anything. Honestly, just tell God, I'm here and I love you. And I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just here because my heart beats at the rhythm of your love. So 30 minutes, if you want to start with 30 minutes and then increase it to an hour, whatever. But what I'm saying is, you know, whatever time you want to give, you think you're going to give, but it's actually receive from God and Jesus present in the Eucharist. And then once you do that, then you're going to see that life is not all about you, it's but about the community and others. Then you have more focus on knowing what your mission is on this earth and what you're called to do, right? As a husband, as a son, as a father, as a member of the community, as a brother in Christ. Then all of a sudden, the foggy feelings, foggy thoughts that you had in your mind, and it just dissipates. You know, you have a clear focus. So I tell the man is, hey, go. Just go. Give God time, and he will dissipate every doubt that you have. Every problem that you have, he will give you the answer to how to resolve it. He will give you the peace in your heart. He's not going to take problems away. I mean, glory to God if he does, but he's going to give you the answer as to why you're going through something and give you the graces necessary to go through it. And remember, the ultimate goal for all of us is to become saints, right? And just like Carlo Acutis said, right? The Eucharist is the highway to heaven. Is that what he said?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh my gosh. And then, so yeah, I'm telling you, man, hey, this is a great way to refill your soul. And the closer you get to the Eucharist, something starts happening. Let me tell you, you don't talk to people the same way. You start seeing them as brothers and the sisters of Christ. All of a sudden, you start getting more intrigued about, who is this Virgin Mary that I always heard about? You start like falling in love with this lady, and you're like, why? Things are starting happening, right? Things that you consider, oh, I wasn't worried about that before. Now you're like, oh my gosh, this homeless person, like, you start caring. And also, there's this great suffering too, because, hey, every Christian has a cross. He was the first example, right? So you start realizing that the cross wasn't in vain, but you're still part of that cross, that you are, even though he already paid for all our sins, he wants you to also take part of the suffering for the redemption of other souls. So you're going to start realizing, hey, this suffering that I had before, or this disease, or this illness, I'm going to offer it up. And I'm going to bring it to you, Chris, say, Lord, I have this disease. If you want to take it away, great. But if not, then please use it as a sacrifice for the redemption of souls. And you have no idea how powerful that is and how many lives and souls are being saved and changed because of that. So it's like you connect with the Lord and you're able to bring graces to the community and to this church just by you being exposed to the Blessed Sacrament. If you ever struggle with Blessed Sacrament, go to John 6. It's just perfect description as to why we believe what we believe in the Catholic Church and why we are so in love with Jesus Christ and the Eucharist. And yeah, brother, that's part of the answer.
So what is it? No, for sure. It absolutely answers it. So what is it that men can do right now? They've heard your story. They hear that this young guy, now a young dad, you know, has gone from this very worldly way of doing things to then understanding the importance of Christ in his life, and then absolutely falling in love and now devoted to the Eucharist and the Holy Mother. And right, I mean, talk about like a 180, right? I mean, you truly,
totally.
You truly have.
I'm still in shock myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you truly have made a full 180, right? How can men who are listening to you right now, who are watching you right now, what can men do to start that 180? What is it that they can, like right now, tangible, tactical, what can they do right now to start that 180? Not think about it, not plan on it, but what could we do as men, as young men, right now to get on that track, that fast track, which seems like a fast track of that 180 life? We're trying to be better men. We're trying to be better brothers, fathers, neighbors, coworkers, right?
I know, it's a lot of faith,
right? Yeah, there's a lot on us as men, you know?
We have to be leaders for our homes, St. Joseph's.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Episode 61 of Catholic Dirt, you mentioned really quickly, and I feel like there's merit in mentioning it. Episode 61 of the Catholic Dirt podcast, Dr. Mike comes back after his COVID-19 experience and really recovering from his COVID-19 experience and talks about how he gave his suffering to God. And Camilo had mentioned this, and I think it's important that to hear an example of that, right? Because this is all tied together. This is all tied together. So if you want an example of what it means to offer your own suffering, to offer your experience to God, listen to episode 61, where Dr. Mike comes back from COVID-19. But I digress. My point being is, what can we do right now, Camilo? Right now, in this moment, we see the video. What can we do right now before we go? If we don't remember anything else, how can I begin to truly refuel with the Eucharist today?
All right, there's six things that we can do, and these have been suggested by our Lady, and I'm adding Eucharistic adoration for sure. But the first thing you have, like, you know, to program yourself really quick is read the Bible. frequent the sacraments of reconciliation and, you know, communion.
Where am I starting in the Bible? Let's get real tactical here. Let's get into the nitty gritty, right? This is Catholic dirt. So we want to
start with John 6.
John 6. Okay.
The book of John.
John 6.
He is the one, the disciple that says the most in love with Jesus, in a sense, right? The beloved disciple, and how he describes and he talks about the
bread. So start John 1:1 and keep an eye out for John 6 and go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Do fasting. What else can we do? And fasting means, if you want to abstain from food and sacrifice it, hey, Lord, I'm not eating breakfast today and I'm offering up for the souls. That's great. But let's say someone like me who's addicted sometimes to the phone, right? Lord, I'm not picking up my phone until like 3 p.m. this afternoon. And I'm offering that temptation of getting and clicking through Facebook and all that for you, right? Just fast something that you really like that you can offer up, hey, for the redemption of souls so that I can learn to know your will more. Fasting is powerful. When you can, if you can, if your parish is open, go get communion, right? Go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Those two go hand to hand, sacrament of reconciliation and communion. Reading the Bible, we already mentioned. And my personal one for now, you know what I'm saying, is go and if you come from home, click on a link of 24-hour Eucharistic adoration and just spend time there. God is not limited to technology. You know, the minute you say, God, I want to love you, I want to adore you, click on the link. I think Will is going to be able to give us a link to go and use some Eucharistic adoration and just be there in the presence of God. And if you have the ability to go to your church and do Eucharistic adoration, at least once a week, 30 minutes, you know, ideally once a day, 15 minutes. But if you're just able to do it once a week, your life is going to be transformed.
And yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about really learning how to schedule this with one of our next speakers, Diana Taylor, who's just an amazing woman who really gets down into the nitty gritty. She's really going to help us get dirty in setting us up with accountability and making sure that we do schedule this time. So I definitely think, to your point, brother, it's got to be scheduled, right? We have to make it a point to have that discipline.
Carry this with you. It's your weapon. Is your easiest way to heaven with the Eucharist and Our Lady, the Rosary. It's a sure way to heaven. You cannot miss, we're Catholics. We have all the gadgets and tools available for our salvation. There's no reason I shouldn't find you, brothers, in heaven. None. Okay, so.
Amen. So really quickly, go through the six again. Go through the six again really quickly.
All right, so let's see if I remember. Reading the Bible. Fasting, praying the Rosary, Eucharistic adoration, sacramental life, meaning you can divide it into 6 and 7 if you want, but basically it would be go to reconciliation, get communion, try as often as possible, as often as you need it, you know, at least once a week, of course, the communion, and at least once a month, go to reconciliation. I think it's essential for us to be active in our faith in that sense. And there's nothing else you can do because you're working, you have a million things going on. Active reconciliation, active communion, reading the Bible, Eucharistic adoration, rosary, and fasting. I think we have all those tools. I think 6 or 7 I mentioned there. Dude, you'll be in good shape for whatever God has in plan for you. If it's Catholic Dirt Conference, if it's going somewhere to be a missionary, if it's becoming a religious person.
Appreciate you.
In the sense of becoming a priest or a nun.
Oh, yeah, we got rid of the state chat. It just ended up being too
good. Just taking a brother, right? How about just reaching out to another brother, another man in your life, right? And just talking about the faith, right? How often do we not do that, right? We're hesitant, we're afraid. That's why I wanted so badly to have this conference and really talk to you about this, because the moment that we met, you know, it was at this Emmaus retreat that this is, this whole thing is basically built off of and derivative of, basically.
Well,
was one of the few times in my life where I knew that I could be real with you, that I could talk to you about my faith, that I could, you know, eventually we built up this relationship. I could call you, bro, I'm going through stuff. This is what's going on. Or you check up on me. Hey, bro, what's up? How are you? What's going on?
Prayer buddies, you, right? Prayer, like, buddies.
Yeah, man. Like, it, something as easy as just reaching out to another man who's not only gone to this conference, but just even in your own church, just reach out. Hey, what's up? Cup of coffee, or, you know, whatever you can do. You know, we're in some really interesting times with COVID-19 and the time of this recording. So whatever you could do safely to connect, whether it's online or socially distant, do it and really understand what Camilo is talking about here. It's when one or more are gathered in his name, he's present. And more than anything, when you're gathered around the Eucharist, you know, you're taking that next level, right? At Catholic Dirt, we're not just here to talk about the surface stuff, right? We want to get dirty in our faith. So as you take this in, as you process this, as we go through your workbooks now, we're going to make sure that you have a tactical plan in place. So Camilo, with that being said, thank you, brother. Thank you so much for your time. And being here and helping me, because this is something that I get out of too. So thank you, brother. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here.
God bless you, bro.